This is the duplicate tape. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project. Jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the duplicate tape of Mrs. Ethel Wong Cannon, tape 1, side B, from 90 minutes to 60 minutes.
Your mother took the children to go to church, right?
No.
Every Sunday?
Well, she didn't have to take us. We would just walk there. It was near our home.
But in other words, did she believe in Christ and
all that? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so did you?
And yet, in the Chinese side, they believe in that, too. We believed in both.
Oh.
So I don't know how, you know, we knew there was a God, you know, according to our religion from church.
Mm-hmm.
We believed in it, in God.
But
we
doesn't Christianity
right now
also say that you cannot worship anything other than that God and Jesus
Christ? But we went through with the Chinese religion also. But I don't know. That was told to us, well, this is what Popo does, and we do what Popo wants us to do.
Uh-huh.
And then every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every summer vacation, we went to church. Bible school and all.
Oh. So are you a Christian?
Well, I guess I'm both then. I don't really know which one to say I am.
No, I mean, you don't have to choose one, but you are also a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Do you still do those Chinese traditional customs, i.e. Chinese New Year and, you know, celebrate it with
jai?
We
have
festivities.
My mother, she always makes jai, you know, that the meatless
vegetarian stuff.
Mm-hmm. We have that and the lai si, you know, but and then we always try to get the house, you know, clean.
Good.
and we don't do anything on New Year's Day, and we just do the few things like that, you know.
In your own household, after you got married, did you continue with that sort of thing, or not?
I did, but see, my husband was Caucasian, and he is a Christian.
Oh, he did. So.
But he did not understand what I was doing. I did not do, you know, burning incense or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anything I say, we have to do this for Chinese New Year or whatever, he went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
He did not, you know, object to it or anything.
When you were growing up in Los Angeles, who were the most prominent persons, Chinese individuals? Do you recall?
You mean in the you're talking about the people that are here in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, I guess my father's uncle was one.
What's his name?
Joe Wong.
Why was he prominent?
I don't know. Maybe because he was wealthy. I don't know.
He owned the grocery store?
He owned that Eastern grocery store.
What else did he own?
And at that time, a lot of gambling places.
They were illegal, I think, right?
Well, they were illegal, and yet they were not illegal, you know? I don't know.
If the police found out about those places,
and
would they be in trouble?
I don't recall them ever getting into trouble, any of them, you know. But he owned the market, and he was like a mayor of Chinatown, almost, I would consider, you know.
When was he prominent?
From the time I was born.
From late 20s all the way to the World War II, maybe?
Yeah, mm-hmm, at least that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another man that started New Chinatown,
mm-hmm,
Peter Suhu,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
yes,
he was very prominent.
Mm-hmm.
He was younger than that, Uncle, you know, Joe
Mm-hmm. Who else?
But, not too many.
Mm-hmm. What about families? Were there any prominent families? You know, big, well-known, large Chinese families.
Oh, there was a lot of Chinese families here, but how well-known or anything to any other people other than ourselves.
Yeah, to you.
You know, but to me, there was quite a few. There was the Kuang family.
Kuang, Q-U-O.
Yeah, right now,
Q-U-O-N.
No, they use K-W-O-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
They own the House of Kuang restaurant,
mm-hmm,
out in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
They were our neighbors. They live next door to me,
mm-hmm,
you know, here. They lived here. But, and then there's...
Why were they prominent besides being restaurant owners?
They were... I don't know. They were ranchers. He had ranches, you know, that sold. I mean, they grew asparagus, you know, and a big ranches. So, I guess because of that, they had quite a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
Then,
which other families?
Oh, just neighbors now. If you're going to ask me if they're prominent, that I couldn't say. I don't know. But neighbors, I mean, people that lived around,
mm-hmm,
here and here, you know, there's a Ng family.
Mm-hmm.
You could get hold of the sisters by name would be like Olga Wong.
Ng?
Ng, yeah, U-N-G.
Hmm.
You could get hold of them and they could give you more of their, you know, versions of old Chinatown.
What did the Ng family do?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying you want to know what who I know.
That's your neighbor, right?
They were all old Chinatown people.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in old Chinatown. What they did, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Kenneth
mm-hmm,
in their family, you know. And they have a big family, but if you could get hold of them by name, you could ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like the Kuang family,
mm-hmm,
you could get hold of Mrs. Margaret Kuang.
Yes,
Lee.
Yes,
you know.
I talked to her.
Oh, you did already?
Once. Yes.
She's the one that was the Moon Festival,
mm-hmm,
queen.
Right.
The first,
mm-hmm,
one. Then there's a Kuan family. They Q-U-A-N.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
Albert Kuan?
No.
No, not the Albert
They're
Kuan.
Not original L.A. people.
Oh.
This is, you could ask. His name, this is a younger man, George Kuan,
mm-hmm,
and his sister's name is Marjorie. She works for Water and Power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
yes,
Marjorie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're original, the old Chinatown people,
mm-hmm,
you know.
I see. What sort of things, what sort of jobs did most Chinese hold before World War II? Do you remember? Especially the women. What did the women do?
Well, like me, I worked part-time at Bolas.
Was that typical?
No.
Typical
in fact, I had to know somebody to get me the job. Like I said, during the war, they laid off all the Oriental people. And then this lady happened to be a customer of one of the places of somebody that knew my uncles. And then they introduced me to the lady at personnel. And then they got me the job.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently, it was quite difficult to get in, you know, to
what
work.
What about, say, in the 20s and the 30s?
I don't
know. The 30s when you were going
You know
to
what a lot of them did? They worked in the sewing factories.
Oh, at that time,
now, this
time
is
were they
reverting
many?
Back, quite back to the sewing factories. My mother said that before Douglas, you know,
mm-hmm,
and everything. She used to work for FC On Company.
FC On, what's that?
It's a art gift shop in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
The Sons have it now. But it's curio Chinese, you know, art goods from China.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My mother used to work there as a sales lady and
mm-hmm,
take care of the store. And but after she married my father, I think she was working, you know, part-time as a lady that, you know what they used to do? She used to work in the sewing factory trimming thread.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how they sew it from a machine,
yeah,
and then she would trim?
Right.
And then different things, she was making lingerie.
Your mother?
Yeah, uh-huh. And quite a few Chinese women, I guess, they did the same thing.
Besides being seamstress and trimmers, were they engaged in any other kinds of work, in, say, secretarial?
Very few.
Okay. You were mentioning about the peeling of walnuts as a source of income.
My grandmother and my aunties did it. I don't know who else.
How could you describe it?
A lady would bring, you know, this particular lady, her name was Mrs. Sally Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, you know, a big car, and she would bring, I don't know whether there were 100 or 50-pound sacks of pecans and walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we had to, everybody had to chip in and help work.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were at grandmother's, we help over there. If we were at our home, we did it at home. And we had to shell the nuts, and then the walnuts, we had to blanch it, take the skin off of the meat.
Right.
And then you sort them according to some that are broken pieces, some that are whole halves.
Oh.
You know, we had to do all that. Pecans, we had to shell them and break the meat up into halves and put it into the, into paper sacks. And then she would come and pick them up and then pay my mother so much per bag. I don't know how much it was, but probably very meager in those days.
Oh.
You know.
Was that typical?
Well, a lot of people did that. And then I know some families, I don't know, my mother, we didn't do it at our house when we grew older, but my grandmother, they used to peel water chestnuts for the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They used to take them.
That should have been back in the 1910s.
Huh? No, even later than that, because I remember them talking about it.
But you never did
that. No, I didn't do it. My grandmother did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm going back now.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked me about the tradition, we did go according to the Chinese tradition by all the customs other than the temple. And the incense burning and all that. We followed all the holidays, the Chinese holidays, you know, like the Moon Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And when did they make the Chinese zhong, the donut, I mean the Chinese zhong tamales?
It's supposed to be Chinese May.
Well, we did that. Then there was another time, something else, she puts a dab of something on my forehead. You know, she has a little Chinese cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's liquid, but she makes it with a powder.
Mm.
I don't know what time of the year it is or anything, but she goes to we all go to the house, to my grandmother.
Yeah.
Then she takes that, whatever that is, and she dabs everybody's forehead with one dab.
That's one particular day out of the year?
Yeah, I remember that. Then it must be Memorial Day, Chinese Memorial Day, where she makes all these paper things, and then we burn all the
them,
paper things.
For the ancestors.
Yeah, and we...
Qingming.
Yeah, Qingming. Mm-hmm. We do all these things, you know, and we did, I mean, when my grandmother was here.
Did she ever live with you, your grandmother?
Not with me, no.
Live with your parents?
No, she had her own place all the time because my mother's the eldest girl.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three brothers and five sisters yet, my mother's family, you know. So there's nine of them all together. And they lived, you know, like this is Los Angeles Street over here. There's another street here. They used to live right behind Los Angeles Street.
Mm, so fairly close.
So that's, you know, it's just across the street, across the street here, over to the corner, and around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
The streets were small, too, compared to now.
Yeah.
Not like they are now, you know.
Did you own a car before World War II? What did the men do?
Work in restaurants, I guess, or laundries, or markets.
Mm.
You know.
Did you ever remember anyone doing white supposedly white jobs. What is it? No, I don't mean white collar, but were there anyone, say, who was a lawyer, perhaps, or I worked as an engineer for some American companies?
I don't recall engineer, but my father's uncle, he was in Sacramento. And,
no, I mean in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, very few. I don't recall. I know there was an attorney named Mr. Hong, Y.C. Hong. He was an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And very prominent, you know, and one of the first Chinese attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Y.C. Hong, yes.
Yeah, you remember
mm-hmm.
his name?
Mm-hmm. He was around in the, I think, the 30s, 40s.
Earlier, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because in Chinatown, quite a few buildings is owned by him.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, you could talk to her, Mrs. Y.C. Hong.
Mm-hmm.
She might be able to give you a lot of information.
Were most of the Chinese at that time considered to be in the middle income category or lower middle
lower
income? Lower category.
Yeah. And then a lot of Chinese people in Los Angeles worked at the wholesale food produce
mm-hmm.
markets, you know, down on between 7th and 9th down on San Pedro Street.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of that.
They were mostly workers. What did they call it?
Oh, no, they had some that Chinese people own it.
Stumpers?
Swampers.
Swampers.
Yeah, swampers.
You know,
and the trucks, they unload and unload the trucks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quite a few. But the Louis family, the
mm-hmm.
produce family,
mm-hmm.
they were very prominent because they owned one of the markets. The produce
didn't
wholesale.
Many Chinese own markets? I mean, large and small, different sizes.
Grocery stores, you mean?
No, I mean wholesale.
The Louis family
produce
did.
Market.
Then let's see. I don't know any other names. I just remember the Louis name that they owned. You know.
Mm-hmm. What did the people?
One of the first ones down there.
How much did they get paid? Most people can remember.
I have no idea. I would not know. When
was
I worked
gambling
at Walmart, was 52 cents an hour.
Oh, I see. That was what, 40?
When I was going to Belmont at the time, that's what, 40?
40s, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. But was that considered an average?
Well, they did not have, like now they have a, you know, $3.10, the minimum, whatever it is now. I think that's what it went up to, but in those days, I don't know. I don't think there was a minimum.
52 cents an hour. How much do you think you can buy with 52 cents at that
Quite
time?
A bit then compared to now.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yes.
Would you be able to buy a lunch for 52 cents?
In those days, oh, yes. You could buy one meal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what I ate in those days or anything, but mostly what we had were like sandwiches, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Not Chinese food, it was American food when we went out.
Mm-hmm.
But at home, we ate a mixed food. We had Chinese food most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sipan
mm-hmm.
and so on. But yet we ate Mexican food.
Your parents also?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure, see, right across the street from Chinatown, from where we lived, right up the street there was Alvera Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the tacos, you know, and tamales,
you know,
and all that.
I thought most Chinese did not like Mexican food.
Oh, no. Well, our family ate it. I don't know now. Maybe the other families did not.
Mm-hmm. Was gambling very popular at that time?
For the men.
For the men.
Not the women that we know of. I never have ever entered a Chinese gambling place. I don't know what
not
it looked
even
like.
In the one in Sacramento?
Never.
Oh,
no,
I
no.
See.
My father said none of us were to ever enter one, so we never did. But they had, according to hearsay, they had pico,
mm-hmm.
you know, dominoes, and they had one game they called fan tan,
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And then, of course, mahjong, they had what they call like mahjong tables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you play so much and pay the house so much or whatever. I don't know. I really don't know how they ever did it.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, we did learn how to play mahjong among ourselves.
Ah.
You know, because there's directions in the book.
Uh-huh.
And then we had...
You and your brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's four of us, so we used to sit and learn. We learned to play it. So eventually we did learn, you know, but we're not the best players.
Did many Chinese send money back to China?
I think quite a bit, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of single men here,
mm-hmm.
but they were married in China and
mm-hmm.
had families in China that
mm-hmm.
sent money back there.
Mm.
A lot of them.
What about, what other things did they do with their money besides sending them back to China and gambling them away? Did they put them in safe deposit boxes? Did they have bank accounts? Did they?
No, I don't know. That part I would not know, but I noticed that...
What did your father do? Did he,
oh, he
stash
had,
away his cash?
He had some bank accounts.
Jar?
No,
oh.
He had bank accounts.
Okay.
Saving account. They didn't, I know he never had a checking account,
mm-hmm.
but I know they had saving accounts.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother think of herself as a Chinese or as an American? Do you know?
As a Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So did your parents try to bring you up as a Chinese and sort of tell you that you are always Chinese? Or did they not care whether you think of yourself as an American
mm-hmm.
or Chinese?
Well, you have to see, our thinking of us being an American goes way back on my mother's side, because my grandmother's family were all born here too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her brothers and sisters on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
And on my father's side, his uncles were all, they may not have been born here, but they were raised here as American Chinese, you know. They went to college,
mm-hmm.
Stanford University and all that, you know,
mm-hmm.
the people up north. And he became a bank manager up in San Francisco, Sacramento. And, you know, they had very prominent positions. And so I've never thought of it other than we know our background is Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And the good part is that we were able to take advantage of being an American citizen because
mm-hmm.
we're Americans.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did most Chinese men meet their wives? Do you know?
The ones that, I don't know. I never really thought about that. A lot of them married them and over there, went back
mm-hmm.
over there and married a girl through someone introducing them and
mm-hmm.
bringing them here.
Mm-hmm. You think that was more popular than meeting someone here?
Well, they did not have that many women here.
Even
and then
in
the American-born Chinese girls
uh-huh.
Were not able to, like my mother and my father,
mm-hmm.
they were matched.
Oh.
They were introduced to each other after they got married. My father and mother did not know each other before they got married.
They were just sort of...
They were made it by, they had like a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother, you know, said yes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how my mother married my father. That's why the backgrounds are so different. Because he was from China. And, but of course he came here when he was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But he stuck to the old way of thinking. Whereas my mother, being born here, and her background is more American Chinese.
Did they get along?
They did at the beginning, you know, and then afterwards when he moved to Sacramento, you could have just called it a separation because
mm-hmm.
they were, you know, he wanted to go there, and then she was working at Douglas Aircraft, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, they never got divorced or anything, but it's just they never, you know, got back together again as man and wife.
Oh, I see.
You know.
Was that kind of prevalent, separations, or...?
They had a lot of them here, but they never, it was not scandalous things,
mm-hmm.
you know, or anything. Nobody knew about it. They just, I guess a lot of them, thinking back now, a lot of them, they were married. They just stay married. Now, I have a cousin to my father, was very strange. He brought his wife over here, and they were married over there. Then he brought her over here. But he is American, like an American. Anyway, she brought her niece over here from China because he was well-to-do. He started fooling around with the niece.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left his wife, divorced his wife, and went off with the niece.
Oh,
you know,
that must have been rather scandalous.
Yeah, you know, and so, but it was not all over the city, but then all the Chinese community that lived here at that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, the majority of them knew about it.
Was that in the 1930s or the 40s?
40s.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was after the war, it was probably during the war around
mm-hmm.
that time.
What did people think of interracial marriages?
Well, I really don't know. I guess they did not like it. I was married to a Caucasian man.
How did your parents react?
My husband and my father liked him. So did my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't say too much because my mother's uncles and aunties were intermarried. You know, my grandparents.
They married Caucasians.
I had one that was married to Caucasian. I have one that's married to a Mexican lady,
mm-hmm.
and one that had three or four wives, you know, different wives, and...
Mm-hmm. At the same time?
No. The first wife passed away. He was married to a Chinese, and she passed away. Then he married another lady, and then another lady, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And different ladies. I think they passed away, but... So nobody really in my family object to my being married to another, you know, a Caucasian.
Did anybody else?
But they did not like it. They would rather I had married a Chinese. They didn't come out and tell me that, though. You know.
They accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even,
mm-hmm.
I see. Did you get married in the late 40s?
No, 1954.
Oh, I see. Were there many instances of interracial marriages prior to that time?
Oh, quite a few. I couldn't name anybody right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's girlfriend was married to a Caucasian man.
Mm-hmm. What about having sons? How did you feel about having sons versus daughters? Or did you not care?
Oh, I didn't care as long as the baby is a healthy one.
Mm-hmm.
But I only had the one son. I just had the one boy.
How about your mother? Did she tell you what her attitude was toward?
Well, she had me and my two sisters, and then the fourth one, she didn't want any more children, but my father wanted one in case it was a son. So she said, she'll try that one more time, and that's it. And then my brother came, so that was it. She said, no more.
Ah, I see.
But like the olden times, you know, they all had big families. The Chinese
was it
people.
Because they wanted, if they kept having daughters, they would try and for a son, or was it just because
just
they liked
to have children?
Mm-hmm. I see. As for the men who went back to China to get married, did they say? Did you know of any reason for them going back instead of picking wives over here?
Well, I guess because the girls that were here were American-born,
mm-hmm.
and they did not socialize with the boys that were from over there
mm-hmm.
most of the time, you know. And all they did was work. The men that came here from China,
mm-hmm.
all I can remember is all they did was work in a laundry or in a restaurant or in a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and they just, you know, saved their money and went back there and brought their wives here. They still do that. I know one young man that just got married several weeks ago. He's been here since he was 15, 16 years old. He
mm.
came from China.
Mm.
Now, he's in his 40s now. Every girl that he met here did not satisfy him. He had to go back to China to get married. But the thought they have in their mind is, the American-born girls are no good, and they're...